As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from an essay by Ursula Le Guin on communication and Thich Nhat Hanh on the fourth precept of deep listening and loving speech. Le Guin writes, "So people seek the irreproducible moment, the brief, fragile community of story told among people gathered together in one place. So children gather at the library to be read to, look at the little circle of faces blazing with intensity. So the writer on a book tour reading in the bookstore and her group of listeners reenact the ancient ritual of the teller at the center of the circle. The living response has enabled that voice to speak. Teller and listener each fulfills the other's expectations. The living tongue that tells the word, the living ear that hears it, bind and bond us in the communion we long for in the silence of our inner solitude." And Thich Nhat Hanh writes, "Because he lives a mindful life, always contemplating the world, and because he is the world regarder, Avalokiteshvara notices a lot of suffering. He knows that much suffering is born from unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others. Therefore, he practices mindful, loving speech and listening deeply. He can be described as the one who teaches us the best way to practice the fourth precept. Aware of the suffering caused by an unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and relieve others of their suffering. This is exactly the universal door practiced by Avalokiteshvara."
Hi, my name's Amanda. Thank you. When I was 12 years old, I attended my cousin Molly's wedding. It's the first wedding I remember attending, and it was a Quaker wedding with no minister or officiant. After my cousin and her spouse-to-be shared their wedding vows, we all sat in silence until an attendee felt moved to stand and speak. And then we returned to silence. For me, it was a whole new way of being with others. I wondered, would I ever feel comfortable spontaneously sharing with a room full of people something that I hadn't rehearsed and wasn't reading or singing or playing from a piece of paper or screen in front of me? 4 years ago, I was introduced to 12-step meetings. The majority of the meeting that I regularly attended for a while consisted of individuals sitting around a table and round-robin style speaking to a topic or sharing anything that we felt inspired to say. And everyone else listened. There was no crosstalk, no period of discussion. Sometimes I came to a meeting with things I knew that I wanted to share, and other times I didn't know until I opened my mouth what was going to come out. The round-robin style took away some of the pressure of extemporaneous speaking for me. Just as much as sharing my own thoughts and feelings, listening to others, holding space for others, was profoundly healing and uplifting. The blogger Heather Plett writes, "What does it mean to hold space for someone else? It means that we're willing to walk alongside another person in whatever journey they're on without judging them, making them feel inadequate, trying to fix them, or trying to impact the outcome. When we hold space for other people, we open our hearts, offer unconditional support, and let go of judgment and control." 3 autumns ago, I signed up for my first covenant group here at James Reeb. We were a group of about 5 regularly attending members, plus a facilitator. Now, the format of a covenant group meeting, if you haven't been through one, is about the same in the past 3 years. There's opening words and lighting a chalice, a check-in, short readings or quotes, sitting in silence, question prompts, sharing and deep listening, again sitting in silence, responses, checkout, closing words, and extinguishing the chalice. I had an overwhelmingly positive experience that first year. Although we do share on the model of speak when moved rather than round robin style, having periods of silent reflection during which I could sit with my thoughts and feelings really helped. And the more our group bonded over time, the safer I felt to become vulnerable. The next year, I again signed up for a covenant group, but I was not in the same place emotionally or physically. Due to a high level of anxiety I was now experiencing, I found myself uncomfortable with any crosstalk, discussion, and the period of response. Sadly, and with some embarrassment, I wound up withdrawing from our covenant group after just a couple of meetings. Then in August last year, I was asked if I'd serve as a covenant group facilitator. Having dropped out the year before and still feeling emotionally raw and physically out of sorts, I was cautious. But I was also curious as to whether holding a facilitator role might help me to come back. I'd been missing the opportunity to get to know people better in a small group. And I'm so glad that I took that leap, because it's been an honor to facilitate, to hold space, and to share among the beautiful individuals, some of which are here, in our second Wednesday Covenant group, as well as with my fellow facilitators. I continue to experience bouts of high anxiety, but the overall experience has been more than just positive, it's been magical. And the magic of covenant group for me happens during sharing and deep listening. The Quaker author, speaker, and activist Parker Palmer writes, "A circle of trust consists of relationships that are neither invasive nor evasive. In this space, we neither invade the mystery of another's true self nor evade another's struggles. We stay present to each other without wavering, while stifling any impulse to fix each other up. We offer each other support in going where each needs to go and learning what each needs to learn at each one's pace and depth. May it be so."
As a teen, I was an avid reader of epic fantasy fiction. Is anyone who's ever paged through a volume by Frank Herbert, J.R.R. Tolkien, and the other number of authors will know oftentimes what comes at the beginning of the book. A map, right? A couple pages of maps. The publishers choose to devote several sheets of paper in the book to fictional geography. This is often mocked by the devotees of literary fiction, this feature of the epic fantasy novel. As a young man prone to distraction, for me it was a mercy. I often would lose track of the wanderings of the protagonists and found it useful to flip back to that map, see where they were, where they came from, where they might be going. And in identifying with these protagonists, who often were described as navigating by their own map, which presumably was similar to the one I was looking at, there was perhaps this unconscious expectation that we all get a map someday, right? So it's been no small awakening that there's no map. Nor is there a navigation app on my phone. Where am I? I can only figure that out by looking around. Where did I come from? Only memories can guide that. Where should I be going? That can only be ascertained by careful discernment and reflection, introspection. In my own story, covenant groups proved an essential tool in this act of self-cartography at a time when it was sorely needed. I had recently relocated to Madison. I was feeling a bit disoriented. I was living in a new apartment with new neighbors, in a new neighborhood, in a new city, working a new job, in a new workplace, to which I traveled along a new route, obeying new unspoken traffic rules. It's not like in Milwaukee where you have 2 seconds after the light turns red. New grocery stores, new libraries, new green spaces to walk around, and new people in every context. It was here that I heard about covenant groups, that they would be starting that fall, and I signed up for trying to do this self-cartography, create my spiritual, psychological map, as a solitary activity was proving rather difficult. I didn't know what to expect. In my pre-UU days, I'd been a part of small groups that tended to be centered around back and forth discussion and reflection. Usually the topic was a passage of the Bible or other religious text or sources from a Christian tradition. Covenant groups were a bit different. The subject of the meeting was our soul matters themes that we also that we speak about usually at least a few of the services every month. This month we're talking about wholeness. In that first year, which was last year that I was in the covenant groups, we were talking about balance, and we were talking about courage, hope, real light stuff. And there's that that activity of the deep listening that Amanda described, whereby when a member of the group is speaking, they're allowed to speak without interruption and without crosstalk and without immediate response until later in the meeting when there's time allotted for it. I'd only been coming to Reeb for a few months at this point, so I find myself in this group with individuals who, none of whom I knew beyond a couple conversations, most of whom I hadn't even talked to at all. Talking about these very not lightweight themes and practicing deep listening, piece of cake, right? But it was in that group that I had the space to do the work I needed. It was in that sharing and being listened to, and possibly more importantly, at least as important, but probably more importantly, in listening to my fellow group members, that I found the space to reflect on where I was, where I had come from, and where I need to be going. Was it difficult? Absolutely. At best, it's kind of awkward. But then again, all work, you know, the work of gaining spiritual insight is called work for a reason. I still don't have a map, but I don't think I need one. Thank you.
My name is Pat. Who are you? Where, who, and what do you come from? Has it been a while since you asked yourself those questions? Members of the covenant groups at James Reeb Congregation recently got the chance to consider those questions about themselves and share their thoughts with one another. In November, we used a template crafted from a poem by George Eller Lyon that asked us to tap our memories for the landscapes of our childhoods, the flavors at our kitchen tables, the names of the people who shaped us, and the stories they told. It was a powerful tool. The lists covenant members read were a poetry of details, hinting at time, place, social class, and beyond in a way we hadn't shared before. Our poems were so revelatory because we trusted each other to not censor the vivid enough that we did not censor the vivid recollections of our childhoods. We trusted one another to hear and accept all that was said. All of you is holy, we said by our presence. Not just the saintly parts, but all the parts. Listening, deep listening of each other is a part of each covenant group meeting agenda. It's not easy. I know I've had a long habit during conversation of thinking about what I want to say next instead of really listening to the person who is talking. But with their emphasis on listening, the covenant groups help train us to stop and listen, to become open to greeting the whole person speaking to us instead of being distracted by our own thoughts. This covenant to hear one another and to be heard is powerful. The living tongue that tells the word, the living ear that hears it, bind and bond us in the communion we long for in the silence of our inner solitude, Ursula Le Guin tells us. Now, one good thing about Reeb is that you usually don't have to stand in line to get involved. We always need people to pitch in and sign up. Working together on committees, on a project, or in education classes are all good ways to get to know each other. We gradually learn about one another's lives, observe how each among us works with others, and discover what each can offer that is unique, all the while dealing with the business at hand. The special thing about covenant groups is that the environment in which we learn about one another is a series of discussions of fundamental questions about the experiences, forces, and beliefs that shape our outer and inner lives. Memory, mystery, sanctuary, possibility, journey, trust. We found that many of us struggle with that last one. Were themes considered this year in our meetings, themes that also shaped our worship services month by month. The topics are thought-provoking, intimate, and sometimes difficult. Occasionally, they are eerily on point. In February, we discussed trust, and we read a brief quote attributed to Rumi, the 13th century Persian poet. As you start to walk out on the way appears. Just a scrap, but I felt attracted to it, because I'm in a difficult pass in my own life where I don't know what to do or think or feel next. We meet on the second Wednesday of the month. On Saturday, I wandered into a story slam at Wilmar Neighborhood Center. Next month's theme would be courage, we were told. And I knew in that moment that the itch I felt around the way appears was being fulfilled. I had been wondering how I could begin to write and speak about my experience as a person living with terminal illness, and here it was. A way was opening for me. I did the slam. It was great. I led a covenant group several years ago, and that's a slightly different perspective from which to observe and participate in the, well, drama, I guess, although small d drama, of a group of people endeavoring to have substantive discussions with one another in a supportive environment. It is also an opportunity for the leader to develop new insights about themselves and new skills. I highly recommend it. We'll all have the chance once again in the fall to sign up for covenant groups, even to volunteer to lead one. The covenant groups are important. I can't tell you the difference it makes to encounter people at coffee hour after services with whom you've had this experience. You know one another. You greet one another from a place of real affection. But the groups can be important also for those of us striving to be in the world in a more compassionate way. As Thich Nhat Hanh tells us in reflecting on the practices of the Buddhist Bodhisattva, who is the embodiment of compassion, aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and to relieve others of their suffering. We can do that beginning in small ways right here.
Good morning. I'm Sabe. I participated in a covenant group led by Pete Haney after I joined the congregation in 2016 and appreciated the experience so much that I then volunteered to facilitate one in the 2017 to 2018 season. Coming to Unitarian Universalism involves learning a bit of new vocabulary. Covenant, stewardship, worship associate. But one phrase that I encountered here for the first time is one that Amanda mentioned of holding space. I had a basic sense of its meaning, but it was in the covenant groups that I got to see it lived out. It's a way of practicing compassion through openness, gently widening your awareness to enfold another person. It's being vulnerable with someone to make it safe for them to be the same with you. We might naturally have opportunities for this kind of radical listening with good friends and intimate partners, but the structure of the covenant groups is designed to facilitate that in a little circle of fellow UUs. The private setting, the chalice, the centering exercises, and perhaps most of all the covenant itself all serve to help us listen to one another without judgment or distraction. In our group, we held space for one another through fears and anxieties, changes to jobs and homes and relationships, and struggles, be they physical, psychological, or spiritual. I speak in generalities because part of the covenant is that you don't speak again of the specifics outside of the session. But we listened to one another's shock and grief following the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida. We held one another's celebrations and successes, too. You might say these groups provide a cozier version of our Sunday joys and sorrows. It isn't so much about discussion or analysis or argument about these things, looking for solutions and answers. Rather, it facilitates the kind of strength and healing that comes of speaking from the heart in a context of safety and acceptance. I find that rare and valuable enough that it deserves to be cherished. So I hope that some of you will take the chance to participate in the covenant groups and hold space of radical listening with your REEB community.